I tell you what, one thing Chad has on me is his kids get excited a lot easier than you guys. All he has to do is talk about somebody eating grasshoppers and they go bananas. Now, they set the tone, so I expect you guys to get excited about what we're talking about today. Amen. And thank you. And I am aware of what time it is. It's 10 till noon, so we will get through as soon as possible. But I really did believe that it was very important for us to take the time to pray as a church this morning. So thank you for allowing us to do that. But today, being the Sunday of Peace and Advent, that's what we're talking about. But there is something about peace that we misunderstand. So we're going to look exactly what the angels proclaimed when they came and talked about Jesus' birth. But we're also going to look a little bit deeper because Paul explains something here. So if you would please stand, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at two verses there, verses 13 and 14. And then we're going to flip over and look at the epistle of Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 14 and 16 there. So it's in the bulletin as well as on the screen. If you don't have your Bible or if you can turn there, that would be great. But Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, this is what it says. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth among men with whom, or on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And then if you flip over to Ephesians, to chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 16 here, and this is what it says. Paul writes this, he says, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, please help us understand exactly what it means to have peace and what the angels declared on that night that they said, "Peace, goodwill to men." Dear Lord, bless the reading of your word. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The proclamation of peace, Luke chapter 2. The angels came and they appeared, and the one angel came and shared the birth of Christ. And then picking up in verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there appeared the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on peace on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" We have in our minds this picture of these beautiful beings, glowing, all dressed in white, like we see in the Christmas plays. Am I wrong? When we think about angels and about this scene, don't we think that they looked up into heaven, the shepherds saw all these glowing white with these long flowing robes and beautiful and trumpets, and they're singing this, "Whoo!" You know, that's what we picture. But what we have to understand is that when the Bible talks about heavenly hosts, these hosts of angels, these were God's warriors. These were his angels that were sent to proclaim the birth of the Messiah, and they were the ones that defended and fought. They are the ones even now fighting in the spirit realm against the principalities and powers of the air. They are the same ones. I am not big on these TV shows that they take the Bible and do their theatrical license with, and they make things. But the one thing, this last time where they did the Bible, you guys remember that mini-series that came on, and it was the Bible, and they told the different stories of the Bible? The one thing that I really liked was their portrayal of the angels. They weren't little frou-frou with wings, Cupid-looking things. These were Roman soldier-looking guys with swords and full armor ready to proclaim and fight for God. That's what showed up. So when you see, think about this. The Bible says that they saw these angels appear and they were scared to death. What about somebody dressed in all white, flowing, and just looking happy, playing on a harp? What is scary about that? Now imagine you looking up and you see an army of angels dressed in full battle gear. Would that get your attention? Now, with that picture in your mind, let's look at what they're proclaiming. Okay? The angels gave three separate announcements here. The first angel, the single angel, announced the birth of the Messiah. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, it says this: in the same region there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Get that picture, this army of this angel dressed in full battle gear, and he's talking to them. They're paying attention, and they're scared. Okay, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." Important. John 3:16 is not the first time it talks about "for God so loved the world." Right here, what does the angel say? For all people. That's important to when we get to Ephesians. Remember that, for all people. Okay? "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." The first angel, he proclaimed the birth of the Messiah. He proclaimed the birth of Jesus, the promised one. Okay? He proclaimed that. The second proclamation was made by the heavenly host. The army of angels appeared behind them. And then the first thing they did is it should be the first thing that we do every time, is the very first thing they did. Look at the first part of verse 14. It says, they gave glory to God who made this happen. Glory to God in the highest. That was the second proclamation. They proclaimed and gave glory to God for doing what is happening now. Okay? And then the third proclamation. Then they were proclaiming peace had come to men. In the second part of verse 14, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now, this verse, it's true on so many levels. One is that he was showing goodwill and sending peace, a peace gesture, to all men. But there is a translation that says, just like this one, the King James Version says, and goodwill toward men. God was making an effort of goodwill by sending his son. Okay? But then this version that I just read, with whom he is pleased. When God makes a goodwill gesture toward all men, but it's not accepted by everyone, is God pleased? Who is he pleased with? Those that accept it. Just think about that. Okay? The good news of peace is for everyone. Do not be afraid. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. I bring you great joy, or news of great joy for all people. It's for everybody. Okay? Now, what exactly is this peace that the angels announced. For that, we have to look at the letter to the Ephesians and look at this in verses 2 through 14, or 14 through 16, which we've already read. But if you look at that again, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments obtained or contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. The first thing that we have to notice is that Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. For he himself is our peace. Verse 14. You have heard it said, and you've seen this posted all over the internet. No Jesus, no peace. But if you know Jesus, you will know peace. That is the truth. We pray today for these people that are facing something that no one should have to face. We prayed for Jim and Melinda. We prayed for JC and Mona. We prayed for Brian and Amanda. We prayed for Rebecca and Doug. The only way that we can endure these things is to know Jesus Christ and have the peace that go along with him. Doctors cannot give us all the answers. They can't. In fact, at this point, I'm expecting my doctors to be honest with me and just tell me what they've been telling me for the last month. We have no idea. All we can do is run more tests, but we don't know. And you know what? That's okay, because God knows. And God's got it. And that's the peace that you can only have through knowing Jesus Christ. The second thing is, how is Jesus our peace? What exactly does that mean? Well, here, in this verse, if you read these, it gets a little bit confusing, because he starts talking about two different groups of people coming as one. Well, the first thing we have to realize is that he's talking about a couple of different things, but one thing he's talking about here is that Jesus united both Jew and Gentile into one body. Do you guys realize that there was a big time gap between the Jews and everybody else? In fact, if you look at the layout of the temple there in Jerusalem, you had the most holy place right in the center. No one was allowed to go in there except for the high priest, and then only one time a year. Then you had the holy place, which is surrounded that, and the people would go in there and work and stuff, but the regular people were not allowed inside there. Then you had the courtyard, and that's where the men, the Jewish men, got to go, and then there was a dividing wall, and you had the court of the women, and then... But that was the only place that anybody that was not Jewish was allowed to go. There was a dividing wall separating between Gentile and Jews. What he is saying is that when Jesus Christ came, he allowed for peace to be between Jews and Gentiles. Because what did the angels proclaim? For all people. He just didn't come for the Jews. He was coming for everybody in the earth that would accept him. And he bridged that gap. And he united the Jewish people that were under the law and the Gentiles that were under the law. He united them in one body, the body of the church, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He caused there to be peace between Jews and Gentiles. Two people becoming one. Okay? In verse 15 it says, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace and make and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. Okay? No matter how great their differences were, God was bigger. He was bigger than any problems that they may have. Okay? And then Jesus I got messed up here, guys. Sorry. And then Jesus also made it possible for our relationship with God, which has been broken by sin, to be healed and renewed. You guys realize that the moment we were created, when Adam and Eve walked this earth, they were created to have a relationship with God, and they walked and talked with God. And because of sin, that relationship was damaged. And from that point to the point right before Jesus came, it had gotten so bad that God had stopped talking. Now, if you have a relationship with someone and they don't talk to you, how bad is that or good is that relationship going to be? It's not going to be very good at all. It's not, in fact, there's not going to be a relationship because there's no communication. Well, it had gotten to where God had stopped talking. They had got so caught up in doing their thing that they stopped listening, and so God stopped talking. Until here. And when he talked big time. And he sent his army to proclaim the birth of the Messiah, the one that had been promised, the one that fulfilled the promise made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The promise of the Messiah given to Moses. Everything fulfilled in this one minute moment. And God did it. He bridged that gap. When Jesus was born, God left his throne, came to earth in the form of a baby. And through that young baby, he grew. And he gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for us. And because of that, our sin has been forgiven and we have a reunited relationship, a revigored relationship with Jesus Christ, or with God through Jesus Christ. The perfect symbol of that is this. The veil which separated the holy place and the most holy place, it was a vivid demonstration of the separation between God and man. We could not come into the presence of God. But the moment that Christ died, the veil in the temple was torn. And just wasn't torn, it was torn from top to bottom, signifying that God was the one that ripped that veil open, allowing us to enter into His presence through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is peace. We are no longer at war with God. We are reconciled to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We have that renewed relationship, and that is a peace. So if Jesus is our peace, what exactly does that mean? Jesus is the source of our peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer at war with God. We don't have to fight against God because of what Jesus Christ did. We are now can be called friends of God. Jesus is the source of our peace with others. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." You guys realize that you put two people in the room, you're going to have four different opinions? Those of you that do math, don't try to figure that up. That's just the truth. You put two people in a room, you're going to have a lot of different opinions. And there's going to be argument. There's going to be strife. The only way a group of people can get together and accomplish anything without somebody getting bent out of shape before, over it is if every single one of those people keep their eyes on Jesus Christ and follow His leadership. And listen, this is going to be a simple illustration, but Jesus is like a can of WD-40. He gets in the middle and everything works right. Am I lying? No. That's the peace that only Jesus can give. And then Jesus is the source of our peace within. And this is the biggest issue that we have a lot of times, is that we don't have peace within ourselves, but Jesus is that source. Look at what it says in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." A lot of times we get worked up over stuff. We worry about things. We get anxious about things. We can't explain it, and so we get tore up about it. Somebody looks at you wrong. Man, I can't. The preacher didn't even shake my hand this morning. We get tore up over things. I can't believe she wore that same dress as I did. Doesn't she know she looks like a cow in that thing? You guys are laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. It's been said. We get worked up over little things that don't matter anything. Then we get worked up over some big things too. You lose your job. Your child gets sick. You have this bill come due and they're getting ready to cut off your electricity. Those are things to worry about. But we shouldn't worry. The Bible says worrying is a sin. And sometimes the only thing that we can depend on is Jesus. The only thing that we have to fall back on is Jesus. And when we face those things with a peace, the Bible says it's beyond our comprehension. You can't explain it. I like the way the King James Version says it. It says, "The peace that passes understanding." We don't understand it. We can't explain it. And the only way you will ever understand it is if you have it yourself. And the only way you can have it is to know Jesus Christ. That babe that came into the manger, he didn't stay in the manger. Bible says that he grew in stature and favor with God and man. He grew up, began to minister, called his disciples, and showed everybody what it meant to be the Messiah. Did he understand it all the time? No, probably not. In fact, we know for a fact that when it came time for him to die on the cross, that he prayed and he struggled over that so much that the capillaries in his head burst and he started sweating great drops of blood, and he kept asking God, "If there's any way other than this, please let it happen." Basically what he was saying is, "I don't want to die." His human part was saying, "I don't want to do this." But then his God part said, "But not my will, but your will." And he gave himself as a perfect sacrifice. And he died on that cross, but thank God he didn't stay dead. Because after we celebrate his birth, what's the next big holiday that happens? We celebrate Easter. And you can't have one without the other. Because Easter is where he came back. He didn't stay dead. He rose again to fulfill all the prophecies. And he's got a couple more promises that he made. One is that he would rise again. Then he's got a couple more. He tells us that I will never leave you or forsake you. And then he tells those men, he says, the angel tells them, for the same man, Jesus, that you saw leave is coming back. And if he's kept every other promise that he's ever made, he's going to keep that one too. Because nothing that we can do or nothing that ever happened will change the character of God. God is God regardless, period. And God cannot do, the only thing that God cannot do is go against his nature. And God is a God of keeping promises. He is a faithful God. And that will never change. When he tells us that he will never leave us and forsake us, when we face those times of struggle, he is there with us. He is holding us. He is the only one that we can depend on. No matter how close our family is, no matter how much they love us, God is the only one that we can count on to always be there and to never leave us. And he is the one that gives us peace. No matter how good it feels to have your family loving on you, they cannot give you the peace that God can give you. And he allows us, through his son Jesus Christ, to experience that peace that nobody can explain. So when the angels declared peace on earth to men, that's what they were declaring. It's more than just a feel-good Christmas movie type of peace. It goes much deeper than that. It's the peace that ends hostility between us and God. It's the peace that unites two warring factions, basically, into one church. And it's the peace that allows us to deal with a lot of problems that we have every day. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know this peace, this is your opportunity right now to get that taken care of. Myself and a lot of other people would love to talk to you and show you how to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. To know that peace that only comes from knowing Him. If there is somebody that you need to go talk to, this is your chance to get that done too. If you need to come and talk to God at the altar or where you sit, don't leave this place without doing that. This is your opportunity to do whatever God is calling you to do. As we sing this song, do business with God right now.
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 310, Out of My Bondage, Sorrow and Night, 310.
Thank you.
peace that only Christ knows.